Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 5, we were comparing 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, to the last phrase of James chapter 5, verse 11. Let's continue with that discussion today.
We've just looked at all this enduring of great, terrible things. We've looked here at Job's. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 and compare it to the last phrase here of James chapter 5, verse 11. Let me read James 5, 11 and then think on that as we're reading 1 Corinthians 4, 5. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, think of that with 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now, at the end of Job's trial, we will see great compassion. That is, the great compassion of the Lord. And we'll know that he was actually there all the time. And that's why Job could say in Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, sometimes it's hard to understand how we'll come to that judgment, 1 Corinthians 4, 5, where the counsels of the hearts are made manifest and the hidden things of darkness, and we have things, boy, we hope nobody ever finds out or something of that nature. But we'll find all of that under the blood of Jesus Christ. Or when we find that those things that may not have been forsaken, but we see that we're still in heaven, and we'll know all the more, we'll rejoice all the more about the great grace of God. Not we'll rejoice all the more because we did forsake it, we'll rejoice because he saved us and kept us. Realize you cannot persevere unless there is a trial in your life. You see, there are no victories without battles. There are no peaks without valleys. Job did not know what was going on behind the scenes between God and Satan. Job must simply trust and stick to the way of righteousness. Job is teaching us that God has higher purposes in suffering than the punishing of Job's sin. As three miserable men who came to comfort him, Satan will always see that you have those kind of comforters about you. You see, Job is going through all this trial, and people think, oh, he's suffering because God's punishing him. And God's purposes were so much higher than that. And these three miserable religious men thought they would point that out instead of trying to comfort Job. Satan wants you to get impatient with God and the situation. You see, an impatient Christian is a powerful weapon in the devil's hands. Friend, when God has chastened me, I've always known what it's for. My children always knew what they were getting a spanking for when they were growing up at home. And my friend, as a Christian, I've been chastened of the Lord, but I always knew why. So understand that you'll always know if it's chastening. If it's a trial, then he is trying to make you better. God knows what he's doing. Trust him by enduring with patience, just as Job did, according to our text here in James 5:11. And so we go to verse 12, and he says, here in James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So we are to endure patiently the temptation of the flesh. Now, understand that James has dealt with the sins of the tongue throughout this little book. They have included sins of lying, slander, backbiting, hypocrisy, arrogance, spitefulness. We now have another sin of the tongue to deal with, which is a slip of the lip. We are not to be careless with oaths and impure words. Our speech should be the first notable change when we dedicate our lives to Christ and we allow the Holy Spirit to take control. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." In Matthew 5, verses 34 through 37, Jesus continues by saying, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Now, he says, above all things here in James 5:12. More importantly, as we have been considering how the rich treat you, and more importantly than not grudging against one another, and not speaking evil of one another, as chapter 4, verse 11 spoke to us and said, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And so he's making some hard charges with that. But he says here in verse 12 of chapter 5, "But above all," he says, most important above the sins of the tongue is not to swear and make oaths by heaven, earth, or in any other manner. Why? Because when one swears, he is giving his word. In a court of law, they say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" But they use the word, "Do you swear?" In other words, legally, when you swear, you're saying that everything you're saying is true. You are putting yourself, your very being, behind your word. Now, my friend, it's an old saying, but your word, as a Christian, should be your bond. Whether giving your word ends up bringing you loss, damage, or some other negative thing, your word should be your bond. There is nothing of value that you possess as a person if your word is no good. People get married. They say, "For better, for worse, sickness and health, rich or poor, till death do us part." And so many have broken that word. And outside of your salvation, your marriage is the most sacred word you give. And we're so quick to break that word in the society in which we live. And for a Christian, that should not be. Your word should be your bond. Now, the Jews were great ones to use various oaths to back up their statements. However, they were careful not to use the name of God in their oaths, lest they would blaspheme God. And so they would swear by heaven, or the earth, the temple, Jerusalem, or even their own heads. Well, Jesus taught them that it is impossible to avoid God in such oaths. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool, and everything else is his creation, my friend. So you can't avoid God in those oaths. Now, this tells us to be sure to stand to your word. Be true to it. Do not give occasion to others to suspect your lying. You see, Satan, we're told, is the father of lies. And when we lie, then we are acting like the children of the devil. As we read this verse, we are again reminded of James chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Well, if your word is no good, then you're an unstable person. And this is especially true in giving your word to God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we read this, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools." You pray at home, you pray somewhere else, at church, and you make God a promise, and then you don't keep it. He says, he has no pleasure in you. He says, better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And then Ecclesiastes 5:6 goes on to say, "Suffer not thy mouth to suffer thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" The Christian must always, always, always keep his word, even if it hurts him personally. Now, none of these verses are telling us that it is wrong to make a vow or an oath. Neither is it telling us to not invoke the name of the Lord in declaring something to be true. As a matter of fact, several times the Apostle Paul confirmed his testimony by telling us that God is my witness. You see, a vow or an oath is a response to God's Holy Spirit. And it's really the highest form of love to give back to God if you keep your word. Did you get that? You see, friend, when you hear the preacher preach, or you're reading the Bible yourself, and boy, God shows you something, or God impresses on your heart, boy, you know, you need to promise God that you'll witness. You need to promise God this. You need to promise God that you'll give. You need to promise God that you're going to do that. You say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do that." Many times there are people that say that to try to get the Holy Spirit off their back. And that's what God said he has no pleasure in. He said, that's being a fool. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.